I wonder what Jesus would say about this generation. We just heard that he said about the Christians, the church leaders in his day, he called them a wicked and adulterous generation. Not what the church leaders expected to hear. But I wonder what he'd say about us. He said they were wicked and adulterous because they were looking for more signs, even though he knew they would not believe. He'd already done a multitude of signs before them. Just earlier in that chapter, chapter 12, he healed a man's hand on the Sabbath day. Jesus said it's more important to help and heal and care about people than it is to be obedient to legalistic rules that they wanted them to abide by. And as Jesus healed this man, it says a few short verses later, they began to plot to kill him because he healed someone on the Sabbath. Just previous to this little passage, Jesus cast out demons. He was a great exorcist, a mighty miracle, healing people, bringing them to wholeness, casting out evil. These same people watched that and said, "You cast out demons because you are from the devil, the evil one. That's how you have that power." Jesus said, "Well, a house divided against itself cannot stand. If I was the evil one, why would I cast out the evil one? That's crazy." So when they came to him again and said, "Oh, we want to see another sign from you, prove that you're the Son of Man," he knew their hearts weren't really earnestly seeking to believe or to come to repentance or to actually find the truth. They were coming to try and trick him. "Give us some more fuel against you. We want you out of here." See, they weren't willing to come and seek the truth and look for signs and come to repentance and believe. They wanted things their own way. So again, I wonder what Jesus would say about our generation. Again, about their generation, he said to them, "The Ninevites will stand up and speak out against you, because when God sent Jonah to the Ninevites to tell them to repent, they did. But when God sent Jesus to the people of his day and told them to repent, they didn't." And so these Gentiles, this is a huge insult to the Jewish people of Jesus' day. Jonah was a Jew, and the Jews hated the Ninevites. They were enemies. The Ninevites did wrong things to them as they were, you know, traveling out in the desert trying to seek the promised land. So the Jews always hated the Ninevites. So for God to call Jonah and say, "Jonah, go to the Ninevites, warn them I'm going to destroy them unless they repent and stop doing those evil things and start, you know, doing the good things that I've called them to do." Jonah didn't want to go. And so he ran away from God. He went the opposite direction, jumped in a ship and sailed away. He said, "Forget that." But God wasn't going to let him just get away with that. And so the ship he was on was caught up in a mighty storm, and they're trying to work out why this storm and bad things have come upon them. And then Jonah finally said, "It's me. Throw me overboard. The storm will stop. You'll all be saved." And they didn't want to do it, but eventually they did to save themselves. And Jonah was swallowed up by a giant sea monster. And in this sea monster, he was there for about 3 days until he was like vomited up onto the land, and then he finally went to Nineveh and told these people to repent. Now, there's lots of controversy around this story. We won't go into the whales and how you could live in a whale stomach if you didn't get eaten by the teeth on the way in. We're not going into that. The point of the story, the point of Jesus' reference, is that Jonah was in the belly of a whale for 3 days, and then he did go to these people and they did repent. That's the point, that the Ninevites repented and will speak against the generation of Jesus' day. And now Jesus is predicting that he will be in the ground, in the body of the earth, for 3 days, just like Jonah was in the belly of the fish. And we don't have to count literal 72-hour periods. The Jews in those days counted 3 days as part of days. So like if he died on the Friday at 3 p.m., He's still dead for part of Friday. Friday, Saturday, risen on Sunday, part of Sunday, he's up and arose again. There's 3 days. That's not an issue in Jewish thinking. And we just need to accept that that's the way it is. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And why did he do that? To bring just not the nation of Nineveh to repentance, but the whole world. Jesus did that to bring the salvation message of the whole world. Turn to God, repent of your sin, and you will receive new life, eternal life forever, is the message that Jesus brought to the Gentiles. Again, an insult to the Jews. They didn't like that. The third challenge for the people of his day, the Queen of the South will rise up at judgment against this generation and condemn it, because she went to Solomon to seek his wisdom and his truth. And she actually declared that history books tell us, even Josephus writing, that she declared Israel a blessed people. She actually went to Solomon, sought his wisdom, and sought to understand what this God in Israel was about back in the day, and called them blessed. And because she sought the truth, and she went to seek this God and listen and humble herself and seek to understand, she will rise up in judgment against God's people of Jesus' day, because they would not seek the truth. They would not come to Jesus and seek the truth that he was bringing them. And so for all of us to reflect on this today, I think it's a challenge. Do we come to Jesus and seek his truth more fully? Do we look for him and seek out his wisdom from the scriptures, from other Christians? Are we repentant like the people of Nineveh? Are we turning away from our sin and turning back to God to live out our lives the way that Jonah warned them to and Jesus warns us to? Or are we like the Pharisees that are proud and have our legalistic rituals, our symbolic rituals, the things that we like to do for religiosity's sake? Or are we really, really, really seeking more of Jesus? Are we seeking to know Jesus more, to obey him fully, to surrender under God's mighty hand and be the people he's called us to be, so that today he might call us a faithful people, a faith-filled people, a people belonging to God, a holy nation? I wonder what he will call us today. Let me pray. Jesus, we come to you today with fresh eyes to see you more clearly. We want more of you. We don't want to just give you lip service and do our own thing. We want to repent and turn back to God and be the faithful people you've called us to be. Help us to learn from the people and the stories of the past. All that history is for our benefit, that we can learn from and glean from and become more of the people that you want us to be. Make us a blessed people today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.